The third part was a little more involved because the point of differentiation, of being able to do the differentiation under the integration sign, is basically that we need to show that not only the function is actually differentiable, this was easy, but its derivatives are well controlled with respect to integration variables. Basically, that there exists this summable measurement somehow uniformly with respect to the differentiation variable. So let us start by noticing that whenever y is in the boundary of Rn plus and it is fixed, kxy is smooth in Rn plus. Now we claim that, we're going to use this claim, for every multi-index alpha, the absolute value of the alpha derivative of the norm of x to the power minus k is controlled by a constant times the norm of x to the power minus k minus norm of alpha. And we prove this by induction on the norm of alpha, which is the sum of alpha j from 1 to n. If it is 0, trivial. Now assume it works whenever the norm of alpha is less equal than some m. And take beta in n0n multi-index such that the norm of beta is equal to n plus 1. So that it can be written as some alpha with norm m and some ij. Ij being the jth vector of the orthogonal of the canonical orthogonal basis of Rn. Therefore, the absolute value of the beta derivative of the norm of x to the power minus k is equal to the absolute value of d alpha times the jth derivative of norm of x to the power minus k. But this is simply minus kxj norm of x to the minus k minus 2. Now we use Leibniz generalized formula for multi-indices. Here the summation is taken over all multi-indices gamma such that gamma j is less equal than alpha j for some j. But in any case we can take only two possible gammas, clearly, because whenever we take a derivative of xj which is not with respect to xj or twice in xj, this term vanishes, so basically gamma can be 0 or ej. And we get these two terms. Let's bring inside, use the triangle inequality, exaggerate, so we put instead of the absolute value of xj, the norm of x, and we use the previous inequality here. The induction hypothesis. And so we're done. It is. So we have also some nice recursion formula for the constant if you want. We are going to use this fact in order to get a bound on the alpha derivative of k, x, y. So up to the constants, we basically have to deal with xn over norm of y, x minus y to the power n. Again, we use the generalized Leibniz rule. And again, beta can basically be only 0 or en. And you may tell me, but beta can be en if and only if alpha n is larger or equal than 1. Sure, indeed there appears here an alpha n which comes from the multi-index, no? From the generalization for multi-indexes of binomial coefficients. So we have these two terms, so we can bound this with absolute value in this way. Again, the absolute value of xn can be bounded with the norm of x, with clearly is a rough estimate. These two terms can be bound using this estimate previously proved, and now at this point we need to get a nice bound for this other function. To this purpose, we are going to simplify a little again, and notice that, first of all, we can work in a small ball very well inside Rn+, because we want to show that this function is differentiable in every point in Rn+, fixed. And whenever we fix a point in Rn+, which is open, we can find a ball which is well contained in Rn+, and centered at this point. Second, the norm of x minus y squared is equal to xn squared plus the norm of xn hat minus y squared, where xn hat is the first n minus 1 components of the vector. Here, okay, I'm identifying y with an element of Rn minus 1. It is standard to do it. So this is larger or equal than, using the reverse triangle inequality, xn squared plus the norm of xn hat minus norm of y squared, which is larger equal than some constant depending on x, norm of x n squared plus norm of y squared, for all y in the boundary of Rn plus. And what is this constant? Clearly, is the minimum of the ratio between the two functions. So divide here, this function is larger equal than its minimum. So what is the minimum? Which is clearly non-negative, because the two functions are both non-negative. I mean, as long as it's not going to plus infinity, but it's not difficult to show that this minimum can be is actually equivalent to the minimum over 0 plus infinity of this function of t, because the variable here y is radial, it appears only in the norm of y. This function can be rewritten in this way, so 1 plus something, which will be negative for t larger than norm of xn divided by 2 and positive otherwise. So basically this is a simple graph of this function. The asymptotic as plus and minus infinity is 1, and there is a point which is below it. The minimum point below 1 is the minimum. We can evaluate it in, it's not with all these elementary calculations, but I admit not so entertaining. We get this expression, and it's not difficult to show that this expression is a nice continuous function inside this ball, very well far away from the boundary of Rn plus. So basically the point is that as long as I'm sure that xn squared over here is never zero, no problem. Xn hat of course can be zero, sure, but the rest is not a problem. So we get this control, and therefore coming back to the previous estimate, instead of x minus y in norm, we can put the norm of xn squared plus norm of y squared to the power minus n minus alpha to the price of putting this constant depending on x. Now we can exaggerate a little more by noticing that since now we are taking xn only in the ball bx0r, xn, the smallest possible value for xn is x0n minus r. So I'm going the maximum distance in the direction xn towards the origin, towards the hyperplane xn equal to 0, so we get this number. And yeah, this is clearly gives the estimate for this second term. For the first one, it comes from this trivial bound. So it's all technical, I mean, not very interesting. What is interesting is that what we found over here, finally, is a summable measurement, which does not depend on the choice of x inside the small ball, but depends on x0 clearly and on r. Yeah, it depends also on r, it's better I wrote it, but okay. You may say that r depends on x0, so it's fine. And therefore we can apply finally Lebesgue, because the function which sends y to 1 over something positive epsilon squared, what you want, plus norm of y squared to the n plus norm of alpha minus 1 is in L1 of the boundary of Rn plus, because of a similar calculation which we have done before. It is passing to spherical coordinates in Rn minus 2. Therefore, Lebesgue Domieta convergence theorem implies that the alpha u is continuous, and we, so u is, you can take the alpha derivative of u, and we can, this is equivalent way to state it, and we can bring the differentiation under the integral sign, because this is the summable measurement. Whenever, okay, to be more precise, you should say that it is alpha differentiable inside the small ball, but then it's local, so it works in every point, because for every fixed point, I can find the small ball, so that I can bring I can differentiate under the integral sign in the center of this ball. All in all, this shows that u is C infinity. Given this, the point D was very simple, because well, you can bring the Laplacian inside because of point C, and now the only point is that the Laplacian of K is 0, and this can be done by direct calculation, because whenever you take the derivative of K in xj, you get a factor xj minus yj. When there is also a derivative in xn, is another factor. This is very standard calculations, and so you can check them. I will upload as usual these slides. All in all, as long as you are away from the singularity, this function, which happens because x is in Rn plus and y is in the boundary, so they never, x minus y can never be zero, so we are done.